Hello, and welcome to Oxcast. I did that because we have a very, very cultured week. There's a lot of things on.
It's high art.
It is only. High art week, yes, exactly. You're not allowed here. None of your little gigs or other things like that. No, wait, come back. We've got fun things to talk about as well. It's Oxcast. It's your weekly introduction to what's on this week in the county of Oxfordshire. I'm Alan Conson.
I'm Anais Higgins.
And we've got lots to talk about, so let's get cracking. What have you got in our cultured Oxcast?
What's more cultured than opera?
Literally nothing.
Opera is, yeah, probably, I think opera's more high than ballet.
Yeah, I have to say, it is probably the single most, like, hoity-toity art that there is.
But this opera isn't.
What? But surely you have to go to places like Glyndebourne or Garsington in order to see opera.
No. This is Opera Anywhere, opening tomorrow night at Blackwell's Bookshop. Opera Anywhere are an Oxfordshire organisation, set up in about 2000, and they tour opera to unique locations. You might have heard their operatic arias on punts. They've even sung on ice. Hello.
Sung on the ice.
They sung on ice. They are the original dancing on ice. But they're singing on ice opera. and now they're taking two Gilbert and Sullivan shows to Blackwell's Bookshop's Norrington Room.
Oh, light operetta. Oh, I see. Okay, well then.
It's the funny operas.
Yeah, it's good. It's if you're going to take over Blackwell's, I think you need to use the space for something that's going to pull people in. And what could be more pulling people in than Gilbert and Sullivan?
And they're calling it Bookshop Opera, but I'm going to rebrand it as Bookshopera.
Opera Anywhere.
A slight trick missed. Bookshopera is this Thursday to Saturday with the Mikado this week. And next Thursday to Saturday is the Pirates of Penzance. And all performances are at 7:30.
That sounds great. So that's from tomorrow, which is May the 23rd, on through the rest of the week then.
And if you fancy yourself as a bit of an opera singer yourself, there is a masterclass next Tuesday 28th.
Wow.
So you could try it out.
Yeah.
I'm tempted.
Yeah, you're going to pop along, hit those high notes. I've always been told I had the body of a Pavarotti and the voice of a someone who didn't sound much like Pavarotti.
I think I've just got quite a good shouty voice. I think
that's why we chose you to do this podcast.
So Opera Anywhere later this summer are also going to Birmingham's Botanical Gardens or an air hangar in Devon. So definitely check out their website.
Range of options.
Exactly, and see where else you might stumble upon some opera or book them for your next punting adventure.
Wow, I think that next time we go punting, we definitely need someone at the front.
Well, I think after I've been to the training session, I will be at the front.
Yeah,
and I think I should be dressed up as a Viking as well, just to kind of
stereotype. Ride of the Valkyries as we zoom along Oxford Punt.
Well, I will wear the hats of the two horns.
Yeah, very historically inaccurate, but still fun. Yeah, just wait. You'll be turning the corner around Magdalen Bridge, you'll hear us coming. Right, before this gets too stupid. Before this devolves ludicrousness. Well, I've got something very depressing to bring us back down again. Oh, wait, don't run away. If you like Russian love triangles, who doesn't? Or theatre, there's a show on for you this week at the Oxford Playhouse. It is Anton Chekhov, you knew that was going to be the case, The Seagull, and it's on until Saturday. It's one of the classics from probably the most celebrated of Russian playwrights. After all, name me another Russian playwright. Yeah, I thought so. He's infamous for his dark, brooding family dramas. On its first performance in 1896, the performers of The Seagull were booed off stage by the St. Petersburg crowd.
Ahead of his time.
Exactly,
yeah. It was too current, it hurt.
Well, actually, it had a reproduction 2 years later when it received rave reviews and launched his theatrical
career. That's because Stanislavski had a go on it.
Stanislavski?
Yes. Theatre practitioner.
Oh, right, I see. Was he around in 1898?
Yes, he did it. He did
he staged naturalism The Seagull.
Yeah, on The Seagull, when it was a success.
Learn something new every minute on this podcast. Wow, I assume Stanislavski was much later, because I associate him with like the 1950s film actors and that sort of thing.
No!
Wow.
Well, I think his technique was then taken on like in America.
Yeah.
They then had kind of different schools, which I think stemmed from him. But
And they what do they call it? Incredibly pretentiously? The method.
The method,
the only method of acting.
Your being. Yeah. You're not acting, you're being.
Exactly. There's a lovely story about one American actor, I can't remember who it was, but he was acting alongside Laurence Olivier, and this American actor had to like be a runner, so he like ran up and down the set frantically, furiously, until he was completely out of breath. He was like, okay, do the shot now. And Laurence Olivier looked at him and said, have you thought of acting, dear boy? Anyway, that aside, back to The Seagull. It's not going to be booed off stage. It's had very, very positive reviews. We sent our reviewer along last night, in fact, and he said it is a brilliant modern updating. Many of the more annoying characters have been turned by a new translation. That's his words, not mine. Have been turned by a new translation into appealing characters. And he said that it's a joy, basically. So... sounds highly positive
yes,
to me.
Yes, I'm planning on going tonight with my opt-in ticket.
Now tell us more about opt-in, because I was shocked and frankly appalled to learn about this scheme.
I was shocked and appalled that you are not part of this scheme.
Yeah, that's why I'm appalled. I've missed most of my chance of being an opt-in. What is opt-in?
Opt-in is a fantastic scheme ran by the Playhouse, which gives you free or discounted tickets to shows if you're under the age of 26.
Yeah, so if like Anais, you're in the first bloom of youth,
unlike if me. If you're 12! No, and...
Anais, of course, is 11 and 3 quarters, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise.
You get a newsletter every month with all the different offers, and I do tend to wait to see what's going to be in the newsletter, because there's always a selection of maybe the big names coming, or some maybe fringe theatre in the BT that you wouldn't really know about or think of going to.
Unless you're given £3 or £5
tickets. But then you're given, you know, a great incentive, you know, minimises the risk of, oh, don't want to spend £20 if I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just makes it really accessible. Even as someone who goes to the theatre a lot, I would always look out for what's on an opt-in. It's only £1 to join, and you get a little membership card, and you can bring a friend under the 26 with you. So you can book two tickets if you've got a card for yourself and another friend under the age of 26 with a discount.
Wow.
It's flawless.
Brilliant. There we go. So go to the Oxford Playhouse website and join opt-in. I certainly will be doing it literally as soon as I finish this podcast. Okay, what else have you got to tell us about?
Well, on Saturday, moving on to the weekend, there's a very multidisciplinary event called Waterculture Women's Works. Loving
good
the alliteration.
Yes,
very good alliteration. It's a symposium that's bringing together musicians, composers, academics and activists to raise awareness of water scarcity issues.
Right,
so between academics and students presenting their research, and it's research from India, Ghana or even like Mediterranean, or close to home, there's also water-inspired poems sung to chamber arrangements, field recordings integrated into electronic music, and electro-acoustic waterscapes opening and closing the event.
That sounds insane in the best possible way.
I know. I think it's a really interesting engagement of art and science, which there's I think, a lot more of nowadays. And it might make it, you know, someone might go more for the music and someone might go more for the science.
But learn about the other.
Exactly. The kind of accessibility is fantastic.
So where's it on?
This is on Saturday, 25th of May at 4pm at the T.S. Eliot Lecture Theatre in Merton College. Basically just a great combination of concert and conference, and thematically
very
linked
good
by water and women's contribution.
I love the idea that you're going to have divided down the room. You're going to have half of the kind of fussy academics going, what is this electronic music? I came here to read about rainfall in the Ghana Basin. And the other half is like, oh man, come on, get with the next
concert. Bring the beats.
Exactly. You'll be there, I can see, in your fitted cap. Brilliant. That's genuinely
so
sounds
do
good.
You have some more music for us, Alwyn?
I might have a little bit more music.
Improving on the segues.
Flawless. Heading... Shh, they'll never know. Heading outside of Oxford now to Dorchester, where the English Music Festival is running this week until Monday. Now, there's a good title, isn't it? We've gone from opera to the English Music Festival. It is exactly what it says on the tin, to plagiarise an advert. And it's a celebration of English music, classical to modern. And many of the recitals and some talks are going to be set in the beautiful surroundings of Dorchester Abbey and Radley College. Now, you might get a little bit sort of jaded by Oxford being so beautiful, but come on, you really can't do better than Dorchester Abbey. So if you want to hear music from everyone from Vaughan Williams to Noel Coward, I would head to their website, which is www.englishmusicfestival.org.uk. I particularly like, by the way, that they're playing one recital of music by John Ireland and Benjamin Britten.
I was going to say, there must be a bit of a Britten fest, no?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so also some Flanders and Swann, Gilbert and Sullivan, you know, a bit of something for everyone. Nothing after about 1939, I would say. You know, that's when English music for them essentially ended.
On Sunday... I've got some very, very great cinema for
what
you.
What cinema? Bringing your
cinema,
bringing your populist nonsense into our opera and music fest?
And it's not even English.
What? Not even English cinema? Get out. Get out of this podcast at once.
This year marks the 25th anniversary of two of Studio Ghibli's major films.
Studio Ghibli, of course, being famous for all of their Japanese
anime Japanese films. Animation studio. Mm-hmm. The biggest ones, I think, would be Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away.
Spirited Away,
but
these
film, two yeah. are My Neighbor Totoro mm-hmm. and Grove of the Fireflies.
Right.
So the Phoenix Picture House is celebrating this big 25th birthday mm-hmm. by screening the films as they were originally shown in Japan, which is as a double bill.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Totoro is a well-loved family film full of mm-hmm. fantastical creatures and adventure. Mm-hmm. It's obviously beautifully animated, and as with several of Miyazaki, he's the founder of Studio Ghibli, as with several of his films, there's a very strong ecological message.
Cool.
And The Grove of the Fireflies is probably less well-known. It wasn't directed by Miyazaki, but with the co-founder of Studio Ghibli. And it's about a brother and sister who lose their mother and their home in an attempt to survive the Second World War. It's quite emotional even just talking about it.
So,
I know.
Yeah, so we're going to start off with a lovely, animated, cheerful family film, get the kids sort of enjoying it with the fantasy, and then death.
And then the war.
The war.
So a lot less cuddly than Totoro. But
an
again,
interesting one,
too, a powerful
emotional
message,
punch. Yeah.
Very anti-war and stunningly animated. And so if you want to go for the double bill, there's a £3 discount, or you can buy for them separately. And they're shown in Japanese with English subtitles. And if you don't know Studio Ghibli, then you should definitely check them out.
Yeah.
It's always, they make really engaged, beautiful films. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing it for nearly 30 years. And they're still pretty much top of their game. Always really good messages and really well-crafted work.
Great. That sounds and good. So that was cultured, it turned out, in the end.
It was cultured.
Well, I'm gonna lower the tone then. Not necessarily, of course, because I'm going to be talking about Oxford Fringe, which is this week, isn't it?
Yes, it's starting from Friday on until the 8th of June.
Wow, long run.
Yeah, there are about three or four events each day, and including comedy, theatre, magic, and some family-friendly events
this
as well.
This is Oxford's own answer to the Edinburgh Fringe, isn't it? You know, coming up fast behind. You know, we may not have 3,000 shows yet, like Edinburgh, but we'll get there one of these days.
There's a small group of shows, but they're on different days, so you get a chance to catch a lot of different things.
A lot of great local performers as well.
Yes, some local performers, and some shows that have been coming from the Brighton Fringe, and then probably will go to Edinburgh, so it could be kind of seems like a preview stage, you know, people don't go to London for the previews, they come to Oxford.
No, you saw it here first, folks.
Most of the events are at the Arts at the Old Fire Station, but some of them are in other venues, so do make sure you check the programme and you end up in the right place.
What would you recommend if you were going to...
Well, I choose as my highlight Northanger Abbey, which is a theatre piece adapted by a company called Boxtail Soup.
Great.
And they're performing it at Arts at the Old Fire Station on this Saturday 25th, next Tuesday 28th, and then Saturday the 8th of June. I think it's a fantastic piece which basically epitomises what Fringe Theatre is all about.
Yeah.
So it's Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey, told of only two actors, paper puppets and handcrafted costume and props.
Wow,
so
that's...
So it's two actors and a suitcase of light materials.
Which is, yeah,
that's
they can
what
literally
Fringe
take with them.
Is all about.
Absolutely, about not having to have a big elaborate stage, not having to have, you know...
Yeah, creating something with little and being able to take that other places. So they have just come from Brighton Fringe and it went down a treat. And it's been reviewed as being faithful to the text and fresh and enchanting. So you can catch that this Saturday, next Tuesday, or Saturday in a week and a bit.
If I haven't read Northanger Abbey, tell me in advance. I know, you're looking pityingly at me, Anna.
I think anything Fringe, we've got two actors and puppets, it's going to be its own kind of take on it anyway. So I wouldn't worry about having not read it.
Brilliant. Yeah, lowering the tone all over the place here. Well, I've got two Oxford Fringe shows that will give you a magical time. Have no illusions.
Oh, here we go.
These two performers have a bag of tricks that will leave you spellbound. Oh, all right. It's a pair of magic shows. Obviously, it's a pair of magic shows. All right, let me have my little fun. Firstly, on Friday, the 24th of May, you can head to the Old Fire Station, as you said, to see Young and Strange, which is a great name, double act.
That's what our podcast should be called.
yeah, exactly. Well, thanks very much for christening me in the Strange role. It's mostly fair. They are, Young and Strange, that is, they are a native Oxfordshire double act, still describes us, of illusionists who specialise in large-scale magic, which you very rarely see on stage. It's normally kind of like smaller acts, but yeah, they promise big illusions. And they've impressed no less a pair than American celebrity magicians Penn and Teller.
I do not know who these are.
Well, they're quite big in America, but they do a regular magic show. They're kind of like the Derren Brown of America. But yeah, so you know they must have something up their sleeves. Oh, all right, I'm sorry, I'll stop. I'm sorry. Please stop hitting me. If you fancy a more cerebral kind of performance, the old fire station have you covered again. Rob Bailey, the psychic, in inverted commas, psychologist, I did the inverted commas thing, listeners, but you can't see me, will be on Monday the 27th of May talking about how working as a psychologist in a secure psychiatric hospital inspired him to become a mind reader.
I see. Stuff. I was going to ask whether he put psychic in inverted commas and that was part of the joke, or if that was you, but that's just your
Oh no, no. He doesn't literally believe that he's psychic. He makes a point of like kind of cutting out all of the flim-flammery that accompanies most celebrity psychics, and actually, you know, doing the tricks which are amazing and impressive, and then showing you, or at least being honest about the fact that he's not actually a mind reader. But there will also be jokes and mind reading tricks woven into his act.
Very nice. I've got a bit of any other business for the end of this wonderful podcast.
That's the most attractive title for a podcast I've ever heard. AOB. Yes, let's equate our podcast to a boring meeting run by a paper-shuffling bureaucrat.
Just a couple of notes to take away with you at the end of this
session. Come back, listeners, come back. We promise populism next week. There'll be nothing next week apart from Sound of Music. We promise.
So Pick Your Own season has begun.
You wouldn't know it from the weather.
Exactly. It's a little late due to the weather, but we just wanted to let you know that most of the Pick Your Own farms are open and asparagus is in season. And we have a feature page about Pick Your Own farms on our website.
With a handy map.
Exactly, a map which has got lovely big cartoon strawberries showing you where the farms are, which is a lovely touch. And also, most of the farms have cafes and shops and play areas, so a pretty good day out.
A lovely day out.
Also, this week is 8th week. It started today and runs till Friday. And if you're not a student or a long-time Oxford dweller, then we do also have a feature page explaining what 8 weeks is. Mm-hmm. But in brief, it's an annual intercollegiate rowing race taking taking place on the Isis until Saturday. So if you're having a riverside walk, don't be alarmed. There'll be rowing. There'll be shouting.
They'll be smashing into one another.
Will there be fancy dress costumes?
Probably not during the day, maybe. Yeah. But there will be big parties on the riverside. Genuinely, I would highly recommend, listeners, that you do pop along if the weather is any good at all between now and Saturday, because there will be just tons of people on the banks of the river. They'll be watching the rowers. They'll be cheering. It's a really great atmosphere. And also, the river racing is quite exciting. Shall I briefly talk about bumps racing?
I think this is all we've got time for.
Oh, damn. Anyway, it's good. They try to crash into one another. Go watch it. But anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Oxcast. As usual, we will be bringing you more next week. Same time, same channel.
In the meantime, do go to our website, www.dailyinfo.co.uk. For more events on in Oxford, all the Oxfringe events are listed. We've also got ads. You can find somewhere to live. You can find somewhere to work. Mm-hmm. You can find a pet.
Basically, absolutely anything you can imagine. If you want more from us in a more sort of personal, one might even say social sense, you can follow us at Daily Info Oxford on Twitters, or you can friend us or like our page. Just search Facebook for Daily Info Oxford, and more updates there.
Thank you.